Welcome to another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. As a former PRCA cowboy, Wes excelled in the rodeo arena and is now pursuing his calling to share God's word that has literally transformed his life. As someone who has a heart to passionately pursue God in his daily life, his desire is to help others do so as well. The focus of his ministry is to bring people closer to God by living in and through the truths of God's Word. May you be blessed by the message from the Word of God that Wes has to share with you today.
Howdy friends, Wes Ward here, Wild West Ministries. I want to do a teaching today on the 23rd Psalm. Whenever I first started my walk with the Lord 8 years ago, it was through the number 23 that God started to showing me things and dealing with me. I was actually born on the 23rd of July, and it was through His Word. Well, I actually recorded a message once called Uncovering the Message of the Number 23, but I realized that it was mainly for me. I don't know that anybody else would get any good out of it. And it was in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus that God revealed to me that I was born in the seventh month, which is holy to the Lord, the festivals of the Lord, the Feast of Tabernacles. It was in 2 Chronicles 7:10, to where I actually seen my birthday in the Bible. And so God was, showing me this stuff. And then He also revealed to me that whenever I was playing football, a little bitty guy, we had our first game coming up, and they was issuing out jerseys. Well, my daddy had done told me that his number was 22, so I wanted the number that my dad wore. Well, I remember I stepped up to the box and I said, "I want number 22. And they looked at me and they said, "We don't have number 22. So they give me number 23. And it's like my number, I guess, that God has given me. And it's a number that really gets my attention, especially whenever, I see it in God's Word. I mean, he showed me so much stuff. But like I say, it was basically for me. But the very first time that I actually heard the 23rd Psalm taught was by a minister by the name of Dr. Hilton Sutton, who was in ministry over 65 years and was real big on teaching on end time prophecies and stuff. But I heard Dr. Sutton, who was actually my pastor's spiritual father, I heard him teach his 23rd Psalm, and I knew that this was for me. I also heard my pastor teach it as well. So what I've done is I've took what I've been taught by Dr. Sutton and by my pastor, and I've put together my teaching on it. It's not me, it's not my pastor, it's not Dr. Sutton. It's just all God working through them. God working through Dr. Sutton, giving him his version of it. God working through my pastor. God working through me. But it's all God. And that's what it's about, is to be passed on and passed on and passed on. So I want to do a teaching today on the 23rd Psalm. I see David. He was a psalmist here. He was a shepherd. I see him as a young man leading his sheep up the mountains, and I can see this meadow. and he's letting his sheep graze. And David, he's probably kicked back on a big rock over there and just watching and being the shepherd. And as the Lord is speaking to him, he's got a tablet and he's writing down what the Lord speaks. I think it's pretty cool that if you will study Psalms 22, Psalms 23, and Psalms 24, you'll see that these are prophetic words by God through the psalmist. Psalms 22 basically is about the time, the period that Jesus actually walked the earth, which would be our past. Psalms 23 is about the present time that we live in. Psalms 24 is about the return of Jesus. Now, if you'll study these chapters in the book of Psalms, 22, 23, 24, knowing what I just told you, your eyes will be opened up and you will see that this is pretty cool how God laid this out many years ago, even before Jesus came. The 23rd Psalm is like a centerpiece of the Bible. It's like it has tentacles that reach back into the Old Testament and tentacles that reach further into the New Testament. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you 6 points from these 6 verses that we're going to be looking at today of the 23rd Psalm. As we go to verse 1 here, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I want to turn now to the book of John, and I want to show you some connecting scriptures here that goes right in line with what we're reading here in verse 1 of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The book of John, we're going to be looking at in chapter 10. Chapter 10. Now these tentacles are reaching back into the New Testament, reaching forward. John 10, we're going to look at verses 7, 9, and 11, and 14. Verse 7 says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door. Let's now look at verse 9. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." Verse 11 says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And verse 14 tells us that, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own." Wow. So back to the 23rd Psalm here. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now let's take a look in, let's go back into the old and let's look at the book of Isaiah. To the prophet Isaiah, and we're going to be looking in chapter 40 first. Isaiah 40, and I want to look at verse 11. Isaiah 40, verse 11 says, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs," now that'd be the young ones, "in his arms." That'd be the young believers, the children, "and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young." See, I've always had a heart for God, but I didn't follow Jesus. I accepted him at a young age. I even wrote a letter whenever I was 9 years old in English class. The teacher told us to write down what we're gonna be when we grow up. I wrote down that I want to be a preacher. I even wrote in that letter, I had no idea that he still exists, but I wrote in that letter that I will have to preach the Word of God. See, I wrote the vision, but I ran from it all these years. And then I had a true salvation experience back in 2008. And I got truly born again then. And I know all these years that God carried me in His bosom. He carried me. Let's read it again. Isaiah 40 verse 11. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. See, Jesus is going to take care of us. Feed us spiritually, physically. He will gather the lambs in His arm. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Now let's go move forward a couple chapters. Isaiah 42. Verse 1, he says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, one in whom my soul delights." He's talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. "I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles." That's us. That's us. See, the prophet Isaiah foresaw coming of the Lord, who is the good shepherd. Now let's look at Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Here's another one of the prophets. This is before Jesus. Let's see what he says here. Jeremiah 23, verse 4. He says, "I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them." Now that's going to be your pastors. "I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord." See, that's one thing that God expects us to do is come to Jesus, receive Him. Or come to full, let me rephrase that, come to full repentance, receive Jesus, and be born again by the Spirit of God. And then get connected. Ask God, pray about it. "God led me to my pastor." He'll do it for you. Don't be looking for a church. Find your shepherd, who is your pastor, who is, by the way, the oracle of God. You don't see the man and exalt the man. You exalt the gift on the man. See, Ephesians 4 says that when Jesus ascended, he gave gift, pastor, teacher, prophet, evangelist of the fivefold ministry. He gave them as a gift. Why would you reject a gift from God? He says, Jeremiah 23, verse 4, "I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord." So point one from verse 1 of the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A shepherd leads and protects his sheep. And Jesus being the good shepherd. A shepherd leads and protects his sheep. Let's look at verse 2. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Green pastures. Well, that's feeding for your spirit. That's the reason we come to church service, to hear our pastor, is to be fed, to be equipped for the works of ministry. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. Now that, friends, is having your life in order. It's having peace. He makes us lie down in the green pastures. Then he goes on to say here that he leads me beside the still waters. Did you know that sheep in the natural will not drink if the waters are agitated? Think about that word agitated. What about your spirit? Have you ever just been around somebody that just likes to gossip and just keep things agitated and lots of drama? There's no peace in that. Says he leads me beside the still waters. The waters. There ain't nothing like getting in a hot shower, taking a hot bath. So relaxing. Therapeutic waters. He leads me beside the still waters. So point number two from verse number two is Jesus wants to feed and refresh us. Where does he do that? In his word, in the house of the Lord. Every time that you open that book, God's book, the Holy Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth, every time you open it and you read from it, you're fellowshipping with God. God and his word are one. John 1 says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. John 1:14 said, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So every time that you open God's word, you're fellowshipping with God. And if you want to hear verbally from God, just read out loud to yourself. I like to read out loud to myself because it says faith comes by hearing in Romans 10:17 and hearing by the word of God. So when I read the word, I'm hearing it with my ears. So that's the reason I like to read it to myself. But Jesus wants to feed and refresh us. He does it in his word in the house of the Lord by attending church service. We come to be equipped for the works of ministry. Let's look at verse number three. He says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of the righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Well, your soul is a three-part. Three parts is your mind, your will and emotion, your intellect. Being able to reason things out in your mind, think things out. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. I want to read to you right here now out of the book of John. We're going to reach back into this New Testament now and connect this. 3 John 2. It tells us, says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Verse 3 says, he restores my soul. So how do we lose our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions? Drugs, alcohol, and having sex with a lot of different people. Because those, when you're having sex with a lot of different people, you get what they call soul ties. Yes. Soul ties. Those are two. Well, actually, if you want to call it drugs and alcohol, it's one and two. Three ways that a person can lose their mind, their will, and their emotions. I've been there. My mind was so screwed up at one time. I had no will left in me to do anything. And I was very emotional. But it says that he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. See, I realize it ain't about me no more, because I was eat up with pride, but it ain't about Wes Ward no more. It's about God working in me, through me, and around me for his glory. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not mine. I'm not here for Wes Ward anymore. I'm here for the Almighty God. Colossians 1:16 tells us that we were created for him, through him, by him. Once you get revelation of that, a lot of the stuff that used to be important to me aren't as important anymore. So point number three, for verse number three, would be Jesus restores your soul. He is an expert soul restorer. Specializes in it. He is a soul restorer. Let's look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, friends, that's life here on earth right now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's life right now here on earth, through the valley of the shadow of death. I want to look right now at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So if God didn't give us a spirit of fear, we know where that come from. Satan. God gave us a spirit of power, love, and of a sound mind. When we're in fear, friends, our faith is being short-circuited. You know, I always went through a cancer battle, and I realized God spoke to me that when you're going through this, you got to keep your faith rising. Because let me tell you, it is warfare. Everything that I've been taught and believe was challenged. But I didn't want fear to set in. I wanted to keep my faith coming up. And how I would do that, every time that these thoughts would come into my head, I'd just rebuke them out loud, no. And then I would replace that thought with a scripture, a healing scripture, or a scripture that was really uplifting. I'd meditate on them, I'd feed on them, and I got them in me. And every time those thoughts would come, I'd just speak out loud one of those scriptures, and my faith would start coming up. And it kept coming up and coming up. And I went through 12 rounds of chemo, 6 months. 33 treatments of radiation, 6.5 weeks, all by myself. And I knew that God was with me. And he showed me how to do it. And everybody said, man, you look so good. I had one person tell my mom, Wes Ward's the best looking cancer patient I've ever seen. But it ain't me, it's just God. God working in me. So God didn't give us a spirit of fear. But it says down in it, down here at the bottom of verse 4, it says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's the rod? Well, as we study the Hebrew, since it's been in the Old Testament, a rod is a scepter, a symbol of authority. In Exodus 17, you know, Moses and Aaron and Hur, the Israelites, are fighting the Amalekites. And as long as Moses has got this rod held up, The Israelites prevailed, but the minute it started coming down, the Amalekites started winning. So Aaron and Hur, they set Moses on a rock, and they one got on each side of him, and they held his hands up so he'd hold the rod up, and the Israelites prevailed that day. But the rod to us is the word of God. We must hold the word of God to a very high standard. The word of God is not only true, it is the truth. The truth. What about the staff? It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Well, staff in the Hebrew language means support, comfort. That would be the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, we're reaching back into the New Testament now. It says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench it. Another verse says, do not grieve the Spirit. We've got to have this comforter. Ephesians 4:30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So point number four from verse number four would be always hold God's word to a high standard. Don't quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need God's word. God's word is the raft. God's word is the rod. And the Holy Spirit would represent the staff in verse four. As we move on down to verse five, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's life here on earth. But if you're truly born again, you can partake of the Lord's table. So visualize this. What's on the Lord's table? What has He got for us to partake of? Well, what about the fruits of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy. Galatians 5:16. Blessings. Healing. Prosperity. What about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That is to receive the power of God upon your life. That is the promise of the Father. These things are all on the Lord's table. And if we thought a little bit more, we could probably put a few more things on the table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The enemies are all around us here on earth today. And it seems like that there's more and more and more. But partake of the Lord's table that He's prepared for us. But it says also that you anoint my head with oil. Well, the oil would represent the presence of God in your life. See, we got to have the presence of God. That's one thing that I love about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. Because I couldn't do this by just receiving Jesus and being born again. Yes, I received the Holy Spirit when I got born again. But whenever I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, which is a promise of the Father, it was like being immersed in it. The presence of God is always with me all the time. And it keeps me on a straight and narrow and out of trouble. We have got to have that Holy Spirit hot in us. Hot. So that is the presence of God, which represents the oil here. In verse 5, Then it goes on to say, my cup runs over. Friends, we're just vessels. We're just vessels. We got to get all of God's stuff in us. Keep us full. Keep us running over. Stay connected. So how do we do that? By staying in prayer, staying in the Word, staying in church service, tithing, worship, doing offerings, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because every time you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're being charged up. You're edifying yourself. So partake of God's... Point number five from verse number five would be partake of God's table. Stay connected. Now as we move on to the final verse of the 23rd Psalm, verse number 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word dwell in the Hebrew language means to attend or to participate. I want to reach over here in the New Testament, and I want to look into Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And we're going to be looking at chapter 5, Ephesians 5. And we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 18. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18, it says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which dispensation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Wow. Let's look at verse 16 here, where it says redeeming the time. You know, the disciples that actually walked with Jesus, they didn't have all these gadgets and technology that we have today that distracts our time. And I'm preaching to myself. You know, we got all these, everybody's got a phone now and they got their nose in it, including me. I spend way too much time on Facebook and stuff like that. But we got to lay that thing down and spend time with the Lord. Redeem the time. Redeem some time back. Because those disciples that walked with Jesus, they didn't have all them distractions that we have today. We've got way too many distractions. We've got to redeem some of that time. And you know what? Verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, I've been drunk many times in my earlier days. People ask me now, do you drink? And I said, no, I don't need no help being stupid. You know, whenever you take a drink of an intoxicating drink, toxins enters your body. People say, well, I know my limit. Well, one drink, one sip, is whenever it begins. Toxins in your body. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So point number 6 from verse number 6 is take refuge in the Lord. Take refuge in Him. And the house of the Lord is the ark of safety. In these last of the last days, many of the prophets of today and Bible scholars believe that we are on borrowed time, that we are definitely in the last of the last days before Jesus' return. We got to stay connected and stay in the presence of the Lord more than ever. But this 23rd Psalm speaks about our time on earth today. And I hope you've enjoyed this teaching, and I hope that you got something out of God's Word. May we all bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Thank you, and God bless you.
This has been another message presented by Wes Ward of Wild West Ministries. Our prayer for you is that you've been helped through the Word of God that we were able to share with you today. The heart of Wild West Ministries is to bring people closer to God through His living Word. If you would like to contact Wes to find out more about his ministry, to receive more of his teachings, or if you're interested in having him as a guest speaker, you can contact him by phone at 903-249-1250. That's 903-249-1250. Or at 580-927-3007. That's 580-927-3007. Or you can email Wes at 3wward@gmail.com. That's 3wward@gmail.com. God bless you.